I got to learn more about politics. I hear about fundraisers where it's $1,000 a plate. Wow, $1,000 a plate. I would have to send the food back, just out of the principle of the thing. Excuse me, please, just take this away. Is there a problem with your meal, sir? Well, it's good. It just ain't $1,000 good.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity WebWorks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino. Driving your business sales to the next level.
Ta-da! Okay, everybody, take a break.
Take it like a man.
Testing. 1, 2, 1.
I don't want to succumb to the temptations.
Thank God.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Thanks.
Delivering the gift that keeps on giving.
That is like that's a cool song.
That's amazing.
That's great. That's great.
It's time for music.
Thrills. Suspense.
I'll be in my basement waiting to be ravished.
So if you want to play on, do what I tell you.
The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
Thank God.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Thanks.
Strategist Radio.
You know, I want to be the reason you look down at your smartphone and smile and then walk into a poll. Oh, and you know beauty? See, beauty isn't about having a pretty face. It's about having a pretty mind, a pretty heart, and a pretty soul. Ooh, that's foxy. Welcome to your Monday edition, Strategist Radio Live, Summer Edition. We do the program on Mondays live, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific Time, 6:02 on the West Coast, right now for your Monday, the 10th day of August, 2015. Happy summer. Today, because you ask for it, startup strategy and how to ensure your business is ready for launch. Oh, so many businesses screw that up. On this live episode of The Strategist, we'll discuss how you, as an entrepreneur, can be near certain that your business is ready for launch. I said launch, not lunch. Have you carefully analyzed the industry, the market, and the demand? Have you conducted a comprehensive PESTEL analysis? PESTEL, P-E-S-T-E-L, it's an acronym, which should be used as a tool for your business to track the environment of which you are planning to launch your new project slash product slash service. Above and beyond understanding the rules of your industry and the demand of your target market, there are five essential ingredients for you to consider before opening your doors and or revealing your website. I share these five business startup essentials on this edition of the program. Plus, we'll take a look at the three PowerPoints of nailing the elevator pitch and how to overcome a business plan disaster. All ahead. That's it. That's it. Today, the gloves are coming off. We're talking about, you know, you may want to make sure that everything is up to and touching, all snug, you know, perfectly aligned, stars, moon, earth, right? The whole solar system before you're ready to launch your business. Do you need to do that? Well, you need to make sure that you're minimizing risks and maximizing your opportunities for success, certainly. And that's why there are certain types of analyses that you should learn to do. If you're not familiar with these, you'll become familiar with them. It'll help you and not make you a casualty in the world of business startups. So today there's a lot to talk about on the program, much to cover. Before we really get into ensuring the launch of your business and the elevator pitch process and how not to screw up a business plan, let's talk a little bit about the PESTL, the environmental scan. All right, we're really looking at the industry. First of all, what is PESTEL? It's an acronym, or you could say initialism. A PESTL analysis is really a framework or tool used by marketers, organizations, to analyze and monitor the macro environment. Micro environment, macro would be the full-scale industry approach. External marketing environment, factors that have an impact on your organization, the results of which is used to identify threats and weaknesses. Now remember, threats and weaknesses are part of your SWOT analysis. SWOT, we talked about that. It's all over the Strategist website. But if you forgot or need to be reminded, pop over to the hub at tjmoreno.com, or you can just go out and Google SWOT analysis. Strengths, weaknesses internally, opportunities and threats externally. So we need to scan the environment. Think of a company like Starbucks. Before they opt to place, open, construct a new Starbucks location, they have to take a look at the environment. Now, when I say environment, I'm talking about the political environment, the economical environment, the social environment, the technological environment, the environmental relative to corporate social responsibility, doing the right thing, making sure that we're not overusing resources or becoming wasteful. You've heard the term, becoming more green. That would be your environmental portion of PESTL. And finally, the L is legal. So you have to take a look at these six attributes. For example, and this is online too. This isn't just the brick and mortar location, the Starbucks. Before Starbucks decides whether or not that's the right location on that street corner in that mall, they have to run a feasibility study. And part of that feasibility study is to take a look at the environment, the business environment, looking at these six attributes, PESTL. For example, what is the political situation of the country? How might it affect the industry to which you operate? So we're looking at this from an external perspective. Are you thinking about opening up an Italian restaurant? Maybe it's a little pizza place, but there's seven pizza places in the same neighborhood. How are people going to take that? How are your competitors going to feel about that? So you got to think about the political ramifications. How can it affect the industry? Part of your feasibility, part of PESTL. Number two, what is the prevalent economic factors? Is there enough people in that market? If you're doing a web property, let's say it's not a brick and mortar location. Let's say you're creating an online business. The same applies. What's the demand for the product or service that you're developing or that you've developed? Or maybe you're selling somebody else's products and services. Maybe you're more of an affiliate. You still have to look at the economic factors. Are people spending money on food before spending money on vacations? Are they spending vacations before food? You have to take a look at how people are spending their money. And you have to see what the economy is doing as a whole. Are people pulling back? Are they saving for Christmas? Is it just after Christmas and you're going to roll out in January where people might be a little bit low on funds? They got to play catch up for all the Christmas presents they purchased, correct? You got to take a look at how much importance does the culture. We take a look at the social side of PESTL. What's going on in the culture? What's relative to the market itself? Are you going to put in something that's 5-star in an area that's a 2-star area? You're not really aligning with the culture there, are you? What technological innovations are likely to pop up and affect the market structure? How can these affect your business? You may think, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to create this business model, but no diddly squat about mobile marketing. Well, maybe your competition is already all over that. So you need to take a look at the marketplace and the industry, and you've got to make sure that you're ramped up in order to be able to compete effectively. What about current legislation when we take a look at the legal aspect. Regulating the industry. Are you in an industry? What if you're a psychologist? Are you and you have an online web property that gives psychology or psychological advice? Are there rules that prevent you from crossing state lines or international borders? Might there be rules that could come up on the horizon down the road? One example is some of these small towns. You probably have seen them. They used to be on the beaten path, right? We know about Route 66, right? That used to be a massive mainstream highway going across the U.S., Route 66. We've heard the song. I've been on it. You may have traveled it or portions of it. But a lot of those businesses that used to flourish on Route 66 went out of business. Why? Because they started creating superhighways here in America called the freeway system. So what if you've got a great place downtown right down the main street, but all of a sudden they're going to put a thoroughfare around the city center? How's that going to affect traffic levels? So you got to take a look at current legislation. That's the legal side of things. And you also need to take a look at the environmental concerns. Making sure that you have strong corporate social responsibility. Making sure that you're philanthropically helping to encourage the ecology of our planet. And that's that going green. So there's some ideas for Pestel. So before you decide to pull the trigger on a business endeavor, you have to look at the environment, the industry to which you're going to compete. Pestel, P-E-S-T-E-L, check it out.
Strategist Radio.
And by the way, you can just pop over to the hub at tjmoreno.com and just type in the word Pestel. Type in the word SWOT analysis in the search box, and you'll get my articles on the subject. They're free for you. In the program, if you miss any portion of the live airing, not to worry. We got you covered. We turn each program into a podcast shortly after the live airing each day and make all of the podcast archives available for you on the hub by simply visiting tjmoreno.com. If you're not a member of the Inner Circle yet, pop over to the hub. Opt in. It'll take you about 10 seconds. That way we know who you are, you know who we are, and we can leverage one another, the talent that we have, right? Collectively. Collectivism. Collectivistically. You get my point. TJMoreno.com. All right, 6:13 right now. Before we talk about how to ensure your business is ready for launch, let's get our story straight. You got 7 seconds, maybe, to tell your story. Maybe 15 if people are patient. But you got to put together an elevator pitch that is memorable. And you got to do it on point. It's got to be quick. Will Schroeder, CEO and founder of VirtueCon Ventures, tells us why a short pitch or an elevator pitch is essential to be able to make an impression on influencing people at a moment's notice.
The importance of an elevator pitch to an entrepreneur is a big, big deal. Because the elevator pitch is how everyone is going to hear about your business for the first time, whether they're investors, partners, potential employees, even the media. A well-crafted elevator pitch is going to be your calling card to the entire world. So spending time on it and really drilling down into the most important parts of the business and the important parts of the pitch is really worth your time. The first thing you're going to think about is, what problem am I solving and what solution am I putting behind it? And trying to drill down on how big is that problem. So take a company like eBay. The problem eBay is solving is that they're going after a huge market of people who have something to sell. There are millions of people that have something as simple as something in their closet, something in their garage that they want to be able to unload to a larger population. Their issue is that they don't have a forum to do it. So eBay's solution is to create an online marketplace to allow people to sell. Well, that's a great explanation, that's a great business concept, but that's a lot to talk about. So the first thing to do is to try to encapsulate that into a simple pitch that everyone can understand. The second tip is to clearly state what it is that your business does. You're going to take this big problem and solution, and you're going to distill it down into one sentence. eBay, for example, allows anyone to sell anything in an online marketplace. It's simple, it's easy for everyone to understand, and it's distilled down to one point that people can communicate. The third point is giving people a soundbite, something that they can tell others about, like an eBay. Everyone understands eBay and Netflix and Craigslist because those concepts are easy to understand. Most of the people that will be selling your business won't have you in the room. They're going to have to explain your business to somebody that's never heard of you or the company before. And having that soundbite is going to be extremely important. And that's the key to your elevator pitch.
Strategist Radio.
It's quarter past the 6 o'clock hour here on the West Coast, live from the Reed Opera House, Strategist Radio Live for your Monday. Welcome to a brand new week, another opportunity to play another day. 10th day of August, 2015. Walt Disney once said, and I love this, laughter is timeless, imagination has no age, and dreams, they're forever. Coming up, the balance of this month on Strategist Radio Live for August. Next Monday, we talk about growth strategy, how to smartly avoid business potholes every single day. On the 24th, communication strategy, and we'll talk about how to produce astonishing every time. How can you turn everything you do into a beautiful, bright gold trinket? We'll talk about that on the 24th, and we'll round out the month on the 31st of August, Monday. Marketing strategy, and how to know if your PR campaign is paying off. All ahead for the month of August, Strategist Radio Live. Get all the deets on the hub at tjmarino.com. There for you. Okay, we're going to talk about how to ensure your business is ready for launch, but first, got to create a business plan, and a lot of people goof that up big time. You can avoid these mistakes and make your business plan look like a pro when you're speaking with investors. Rick Smith checks in. He's the co-founder of Crosscut Ventures. Talks about the business plan mistakes that will turn off investors yesterday.
So here are six business plan mistakes that I've seen over the years of being a venture capitalist. Number one, right? The plan has become the deck. In other words, I would spend time working on a 15-page PowerPoint pitch deck rather than a 40-page single-space business plan. That was nice 10 years ago. Today, spend that time working on business. Number two, hiring a consultant. You don't need one, right? As venture capitalists, we're looking for people who understand their business, who can write about it. We're not looking for perfect business plans or perfect pitch decks. We're looking for folks who are passionate about their business, not consultants who are passionate about the business. Number three, okay? Oftentimes I see a great pitch deck that talks about the product that leaves out completely any mention of the management team. As venture capitalists, we're investing in management teams, not products or ideas. So prominently put in your pitch deck description of the management team and why that matters to this particular project that you may be working on. Number four, unrealistic projections. It's really easy. Turn to the projections. And you should have projections in your slide deck. If you see those projections, I just saw one the other day that had the company going from zero to $1.7 billion in revenue in 2 years. What it says is, obviously that's unrealistic, but also says that as a CEO or founder, you don't have really good basic business sense about how realistic the business is and how we're going to grow that business. Number five, underestimating competition. Can't tell you how many times I've seen people say it's a $1 billion market and there's no one in it. Okay, be realistic about the competition. We're going to find out who's doing what and where. It helps us, if you, as a venture capitalist, if you tell us where that competition is, and it also helps us understand that you are realistic about the market and the people against whom you're competing. The sixth one is, don't put a valuation in your deck or business plan. The market's going to set that. So don't go out, a strong recommendation is, don't go out and say we're going to raise this amount of money at this price. Let the market determine where that price is going to be. So six business plan mistakes. There's probably others, but those are ones that we see almost every day.
Right now, Monday morning. Hi. Three tips for you. Want to be a great entrepreneur? All right, here you go. Number one, work hard. Number two, have fun. And number three, no freaking drama. Meat and potatoes, baby. All right, so let's talk about how to ensure your business startup is ready for launch. All right. First of all, you need to understand that you're never going to truly be ready to pull the trigger. Now, some people are of this belief system that they need to be completely prepared, and oftentimes it's an excuse not to get started. Listen, any experienced entrepreneur is going to tell you, You can't be prepared for every single thing that could possibly come across the dance floor. Yes, you need to do your analyses. Yes, you need to do your investigation and your due diligence and your research. Yes, you have to factor in risk and risk management. Certainly. Conflict resolution. Absolutely. Mini business plan. Totally. However, before you flip the sign, don't expect everything to be perfectly aligned. I'm not advocating you run out there like a maniac flying by the seat of your shorts with something less than your best. But you got to be aware there comes a moment in time where you finally say, okay, I've tweaked out. Now I've missed my opportunities because that window of opportunity. See, there's a product life cycle. There's a customer life cycle. And if you miss the boat because you're dragging your feet, you're wanting everything to be perfect, that can cost you big time. Remember, being in business, you're always dynamic, you're always remaining nimble, and you're always going to be embracing change. So you're always refining, re-strategizing. Sometimes you're reinventing. Sometimes you're dumping products and services that didn't do well. Sometimes you got to cut the fat. But don't wait till you're perfectly ready. It'll never happen. Number two, you got to know how to sell. I mean, you can have all the passion and drive in the world. I mean, you can have a laser focus on exactly where your business is going to go, according to you. You can even have the most amazing, stellar product and the best killer marketing communication strategy under the sun. Unfortunately, none of that's going to matter if you don't know how to sell. If you can't close an open-faced sandwich, you're screwed. When starting a business, selling is critical to your success. But the selling I'm talking about is not the selling we're just going out and talking to customers. The selling happens in alignment with, in correlation with, in conjunction with investors, partners, employees, maybe your spouse, your significant other, and the family. All of these people and friends, they need to be sold. This doesn't mean knowing how to manipulate. I'm not talking about manipulation here. In getting them to see it your way. In planting this, you know, some sort of hex on them so they're going to all of a sudden, you know, see what I mean? It's influencing. Effective selling is about how well we can communicate our idea so that we can get what we can get buy-in. And we can also get others to take ownership as well. The next key point. You better have your finances in place if you plan on staying adrift. One reason people never actually become an entrepreneur is because of the risk, the cash risk, the capital risk, the financial risk that's involved in operating and starting and operating and sustaining a business. Now, naturally, there's going to be risk. So how well you've planned to address it can be the difference between winning and getting a spank. For some entrepreneurs, it's possible to keep your full-time job while you work part-time on growing your business. This can be a plus. That's the way I started it. It can be a plus if you can depend on a steady paycheck along with other benefits from your employer. You know, i.e. 401k, maybe it's your dental, your medical, right? However, if your business requires you to be on point at all times, well, then you might be handicapping yourself by only working on your business during the small windows of time when you have a full-time job. So you got to take a look at the condition. So if your business needs your time and attention all day, every day to be successful, then perhaps you better get ready to put something in reserves to cover your living expenses. You'll hear people recommend having enough money for, 6 months to survive on, as much as 2 years. Now, the correct answer lies at whatever amount provides you peace, gives you that good, that warm, fuzzy feeling. Starting a business requires your very best. If you're preoccupied about living expenses, you're toast. Make sure, this is number four, throw the ego away. The nasty little, I'm talking about the bad ego. You need to fire your ego. Being an entrepreneur can be a humbling experience, but it is in those times when you learn the most about what it takes to be successful. You want to be right or do you want to have peace? Do you want to be right or do you want to have success? For example, if you're opening up maybe a restaurant and you're in love with the prospect of cooking for people, keep in mind that someone will still need to work with the vendors. Who's going to handle the books? Who's going to clean the toilets? If your ego tells you those jobs are beneath you, you'll be closing the doors before you open it. And finally, you've written a business plan. We talked a little bit about that earlier in today's program. We're not looking for Gone with the Wind 900,000 pages. However, we need to make sure that we're looking at the various aspects of that business planning process. You may say, well, why do I need a business plan if I'm not going out seeking venture capital, or I'm not going to take a loan at the bank, or I'm going to run to the SBA to help me fortify my startup? It's your roadmap. Your business plan is for your roadmap. And for those that are going to align with themselves within your business, other stakeholders, they need to see where you're going. So you can be brief, but you need to cover. And if you go to the strategist website at tjmarino.com, I've got examples of how to do the simple business plan. We've even talked about it on the show, the one-sheet business plan. This is kind of like your rudder. You got to sit down and you got to put your plan together. You've heard that silly expression, if you fail to plan, then I guess you plan to fail. It's kind of like that. Get it in writing. Get it out of your bean. Get it on paper so other people, too, can help embrace the direction that you want to take your business so that you can go into the world and help your target audience achieve a goal, solve a problem, or satisfy a need, right? But remember this, too, the caveat on the business plan. It's not made of steel. It's not immobile. It's dynamic and flexible. It is a living, breathing document that will be refined each day, each week, each month, as necessary, as you deem it essential to make those shifts and to make those refinements and those reformations to your business plan. That's how it works. More details all over the site there for you. You are absolutely amazing. I adore you. I love you. You're the salt of the earth. And you know what? Remember, nobody guaranteed everything is going to be a happy day. But you know what? We have control of how we look at things. So if something seems a little crappy, maybe we got to turn it around and maybe have a laugh. Maybe we do have to cry for a few minutes. That's okay, too. Feelings and emotions are important. We got to go through them. But just remember, life's a roller coaster. Make it an adventure. Do it with a smile. And make sure you're out there loving people. Look for those opportunities to go out and love somebody. God bless you. Make it a great rest of your week. I'll see you next Monday, where we talk about, coming up on the 17th, growth strategy, how to smartly avoid business potholes every day. Thanks for listening. Kelly, close it out.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio, this has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spooks. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support at tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on the Strategist Radio Live.